2 Corinthians chapter 4, which I hope you're there right now and not 1 Corinthians 15, which would demonstrate you haven't had enough coffee yet today. 2 Corinthians 4, how did I come up with this theme of discipleship? And to be honest with you, I haven't come up with a fancy title for it. The 2020 theme, the glorious return of Christ. That's a real nice, concise, and powerful sentence. Maybe you can give me some suggestions over the next few days of how we can summarize 2 Corinthians 4, but our theme this year is discipleship, which begins with evangelism. Okay, so really it's the theme is the Great Commission, but that's kind of worn out. I'd like something, I'm certainly not going to say our theme for this year is the Great Commission. It's kind of non-creative, okay? So help me out on that one. But how did I come up with that theme? I started pondering this question to myself. If I knew, and we cannot, but if I knew that the Lord Jesus was coming back in 2021, what is the most significant thing that I could do as a believer? And of course, it would be to reach out to someone, to others, lead them to Christ and begin teaching them the word and be found doing that when the Lord returns. In addition to that, with the entire world around us seemingly falling apart, what is the best thing we can do when the world is falling apart all around us? Well, I'm going to answer that question by quoting a man that I quoted from this pulpit a few years ago by the name of Evangelist Jimmy Johnson, who came to Highland Park Baptist Church and Tennessee Temple University back in the day and preached a couple of meetings there when I was a student there, at least one extended meeting, and I really appreciated his preaching, and it was very, on the one hand, it was very intellectual, it was very eloquent, but it was very biblical and strong, had a good biblical foundation, and his preaching really inspired me and challenged me and convicted me, all of those things, every time I got to hear this guy, and he was old by the time he got there, so, and that was back in the 80s, so I know the guy's with the Lord now, you know, unless he's 145, but here's one thing evangelist Jimmy Johnson said. He said, "We were not called to save society from wreckage, but to save souls from the wreckage of society." Boy, does that ever hold true today. And that's why I disagreed with another man who's now with the Lord, D. James Kennedy, who believed in Reconstructionism. He was a television preacher, and yet I enjoyed his preaching as well, but I disagreed with him on this theological idea of Reconstructionism, that we are called to save society from wreckage, and we do that by the church becoming very involved in politics. And please don't misunderstand me. As individuals, we should be very involved politically, and we should be very concerned about our country at this time, but as a local church body, we do not set aside the Great Commission, which the Lord wants to find us doing when he returns. You see, D. James Kennedy and I would also agree on our eschatology, and this illustrates, folks, the importance of having a proper dispensational view of the Scriptures and a proper eschatological foundation based on Scripture fitting together proper doctrine, sound doctrine. Because if you have a wrong view of the Lord's return and the tribulation and the second coming of Christ, you can very easily get mixed up into thinking that our mission is different today as a church, that it's different than the Great Commission. It is not. The Great Commission still stands. That dispensation of grace has not ended. And God still expects the people of Hamilton Acres Baptist Church to be reaching out to others in the same way that Paul did when he wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And he said, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." And the ministry that he's referring to, if you read chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, is that ministry of partnering with the Holy Spirit to remove the veil off of the eyes of the lost, okay, which happens when the sinner's heart turns to the Lord. 3:16, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, that is the heart. If you don't believe that the word IT means heart, look at the last word of the previous verse. To this day, when Moses read, the veil is upon their heart. Speaking of Israel, you say, well, that's Israel. If you're hyper-dispensationalist, you might say, well, that's Israel. That doesn't apply to the church. No, look at verse 4 of chapter 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. The veil isn't just over the heart and the spiritual eyes of Israel. The veil covers the heart and the spiritual eyes of anyone who believes not. But when the heart turns to the Lord, that's when the Bible says the veil shall be taken away, last half of verse 16, chapter 3. And then he says in verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, a person has been set free. Free from their sins, free from the curse. Okay? It's not a lifetime verse to choose and sign with your signature in somebody's Bible because you believe now that I'm saved, I'm free to do anything. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Oh my goodness. Talk about a twisting and a misuse of God's word. It's saying that when the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. That removal of the veil, that restoration of the spiritual eyesight so someone can see Jesus in the Word of God. That's literally what it says in 13 through 15. It's seeing Christ in the Word of God. And when somebody looks up from reading the Bible in their own language, who up to that point had never heard or understood the gospel, and when somebody looks up and says, Jesus, same as God. Guess what just happened? The Holy Spirit just went, whoop. Jesus. And they see Christ just as clearly as Paul saw him on the road to Damascus. They see him in their soul, and a person is saved, and then they are set free. And what Paul is saying in verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry of partnering with the Holy Spirit, who is the one who removes the veil, and we receive this ministry by the mercy of God. In other words, it's a gift. It's a merciful thing that not only when we get saved, not only does God remove the curse, and we're no longer under his condemnation and sentenced to hell, but he adopts us into his family, and he gives us the Holy Spirit, and he calls us into the ministry. It's the it used to be the byline. I don't know what the byline of Tri-City Baptist Church in Chandler, Arizona is anymore, but years ago it used to be at the bottom of their bulletin every Sunday morning had this in quotes, every member a minister. Okay? It doesn't mean that everybody in the church is called to be an elder or a deacon or a pastor. Those are special callings, and I believe in them. Okay, so it doesn't mean that the church is all full of pastors and nobody has any authority these days because that's politically incorrect. No, you can't run the army that way, and you can't run the Lord's army that way. But what it does mean is that every true believer in the church has been given this tremendous privilege by God to declare to the blind that this is Jesus and he can take away your blindness. He can help you see him, which is the greatest privilege, to see Jesus. Remember those two Greeks that came to the disciples in the Gospels and they said, sirs, we would see Jesus. Well, sometimes God brings people into our path, and this is what the exchange series is about. It's not a pressure series. Oh, please, don't misunderstand it. This is not an Amway series where you're now expected to sign up 10 people in 2021 and get them to repeat a prayer or become a part of the organization. No. This is simply thinking about your friends and loved ones and your neighbors in light of eternity and inviting them into your home. No expectations. Now, this is the part I'm going to give you that they may not. No expectations. Do you realize that when you really believe that conversion and the removal of the veil is a work of the Holy Spirit and is not something you can do, it takes a whole lot of pressure off you. Because you can have someone into your home for dinner or tea or coffee, whatever. Or you can invite someone to church, or you can go out to lunch with them. And you don't have to be like, what am I going to say? Oh my goodness, I'm so scared. How do I bring up God? How do I bring up, I kind of sense this person is even anti-God. I'm scared to death. Or maybe they're anti-Bible. Or maybe they're an atheist. Who cares? I mean, we care, but you know what I mean by who cares. It means it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit is the one who overcomes all of that. All you do is put the welcome mat out and you pray and you watch God remove the veil. You watch God give you the opportunity. And I told somebody the other day, one of our little friends overseas said that for her birthday, she wanted to go, and she'll probably watch this and comment on it, but I won't say any names, but she knows who we're talking about. But for her birthday, which is today, overseas, she wanted to go to the capital city of her country with some friends and treat herself to some shopping and some eating and some fancy restaurants for her birthday. And she made this statement. She said, I don't even want to go, you know, for the gospel. And you know, I answered her email and I said, you don't have to go feeling that pressure. Just go and be you and let the Lord Jesus live through you. And it will make your friends thirsty for what you have. And then if someone asks you, well, of course, you don't deny the Lord. And this person would never do that. But you don't have to go with this pressure. I'm going to be 3 days in my capital city, and I just want to celebrate my birthday. I don't want to go there and preach a revival meeting, you know. And we're teaching her, you don't have to have that mindset. And when you get a hold of this exchange ministry, I don't want to call it a program, I don't even like calling it a curriculum, when you get a hold of the idea, you will understand that really you're just reaching out to people and befriending them and waiting on the Holy Spirit to give you that opportunity to share Christ. And when he does, this ministry will teach you what to do next. What would you do? Right now, think that through. What would you do if a friend of yours at work came up to you and said, I almost took my own life last night? And I've seen you pray, or I've heard you talk about church. You seem to have a really strong family. Can you help me? I just need someone to talk to. What do you do with that? If you say, I don't know what I would do. This ministry, the Musgraves, will help us with that. And you say, well, Pastor Bruce, that's never happened to me, never going to happen to me. It will happen to you if you pray for it to happen, because I've often said from this pulpit that the fastest prayer you will ever have answered is, God, Will you give me an opportunity to exalt your son, Jesus, to lift up Jesus to an unsaved person? Will you give me the opportunity to share the gospel? Watch out, because he will. And that's why Paul says, seeing we have this ministry of partnering with the Holy Spirit to lift up the veil so people can see Jesus and be set free from their sins, by seeing Jesus in the Word, and verse 18 is of chapter 3 is where Paul includes everyone, saved and unsaved, but we all. He says, not only are the lost changed when they see Jesus in the Word of God as a result of the Holy Spirit lifting the veil, but we all with open face. What is open face? That's not a roast beef sandwich. We all with open face, you know what that is? It's a face where the veil's been removed. In other words, all saved people beholding as in a glass, there's the Word of God, the glory of the Lord. In other words, did you know that the biggest thing that changes you and I, you know, we're going through this, the men's series, the Conquer series, and we watch the DVDs and we have our monthly meetings and it's all good. And I think especially the accountability and the filters and the blockers, that all helps to minimize temptation. But that alone won't produce change. What changes us from glory to glory, he says, what the Spirit of the Lord uses to change us from glory to glory is when we see Christ glorified in the Word of God. And that's why it's a pastor's, one of the pastor's number one concerns is when people stop missing church. Because hopefully in church, when you've got your Bible open or your device with Facebook blocked and incoming text blocked so you're not distracted, the importance of the proclamation, the accurate proclamation of the Word of God to the people in the church is that they see Christ in the Word, Christ is glorified in their heart, because that's when the Holy Spirit does a work in us and we change a little bit more to be like Jesus. That's how it happens. Now you can argue with that and you can think you found a better way and you can think you can get that from reading books about the Bible instead of the Bible itself, or watching the most popular and best communicators in the world whose discernment of late has gone down the drain in my way of thinking, some of them. You can do it that way, but this verse says that it says, we all with an unveiled face look into the mirror of God's Word, same as James 1 talks about, and the glory, we see the glory of the Lord, and we're changed into the same image. That means we're changed into the Lord's image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the two things that God uses to conform us into the image of Christ is the Word of God and the Spirit of God who wrote it. And so Paul says, you know, and I think when he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, he's talking about the ministry of partnering with the Holy Spirit to remove the veil and partnering with the Holy Spirit to help other believers see Jesus in the Word of God and grow in grace. That's called evangelism and discipleship. And that's what our theme is for 2021. And he says, or I read between the lines, and I read here that Paul is saying or thinking maybe there's nothing more glorious than that. So therefore, verse 2, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or deceitfulness, not handling the Word of God deceitfully, not manipulating people to do what they want, but just by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So Paul says, you know, our own personal testimony validates the Word of God, But we by doing this, by living a righteous life and not living a hypocritical life, but being consistent by living what the Word of God says, he says we magnify the truth. So as you and I, we talk about the love of Jesus and we talk about the love of God, but before we talk it, we should walk it in front of our neighbors. Meaning that if we hear the neighbor's spouse passed away, or the neighbor has been diagnosed with cancer, or they're going through a difficult time, or possibly no reason at all, we just take homemade cookies or homemade spinach or whatever you make. Kind of gross. Canned spinach. I guess that's what John Rowe would take. He would take his neighbor some canned spinach with an egg in there. Okay. Sounds pretty bad. But it's a thought that counts. And you get my idea. We reach out to the neighbors. I'm very thankful for our church because when this exchange ministry first came onto my computer and I looked it over, one of my first thoughts was, we don't need this. But that's a red flag in itself. But I want to tell you, and I'm sincerely complimenting you when I say this, that so many of you have brought unsaved loved ones and friends and coworkers to church, and a number of you have led people to Christ. That's why I thought that. We just don't need it. But as I thought it through more and more, I thought, you know, it makes sense that if we really believe the Lord's return is near, as I do, we should be reaching out like never before. So can we do a better job? Yes, myself included. And no, that doesn't mean I need to get busier, I need to get more frantic, I need to cram in more appointments. No. I'll tell you what it means for me. Doing a better job for me with regard to evangelism and discipleship, honestly, being very upfront with you, it means I need to spend more time in prayer. Because the work of the Holy Spirit begins with prayer. And it's why I didn't choose that as our theme for 2021. I wouldn't be standing up here saying, this is one of my strong points. Oh, my word. It's probably my weakest area of my Christian life is quality, sincere, incessant, persistent praying. I do a lot of the, I guess what I would call just for myself, I do a lot of the easy praying. I come over here in the dark sometimes and I just walk around this church and I pray. But I'm talking about fervent prayer. I need that in my own life. And by the way, you want to go back to the Conquer series, and you want to go back to the Lord changing us by seeing Christ in the Word, so the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, right? Well, the way we get the Holy Spirit's attention in any area of life is just what the Lord said. I think it was John 4, but I can't be sure. But I think it's John 4, he said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, my point in quoting that verse is not the harvest, but who is the Lord of the harvest that we're supposed to pray to? It's the Holy Spirit. He's the one who is, he's reaping the harvest. He's drawing the souls. He's lifting up Christ. And what did Jesus say? When he comes, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. Aren't you glad that you don't have to do that? All we have to do is show Christ to people and then share Christ with people if and when God opens the door. Did you know that if your home and your life is even halfway Bible-based, The unsaved notice something is different. We don't notice it because we become used to it. We come to church and we're in a culture of people like us. There's really no comparison. Now, I'm talking a lot about myself. I'm referring to myself here because I know a lot of you work out in the world and you rub shoulders with some very twisted, ungodly people. So I need to take that into consideration, that you do see the contrast more than I. I mean, my wife and I do have many unsaved friends, so we see it because of that now that I think about it. But you know what I'm saying? I think what I'm trying to say is we take our Christian lives for granted, but the world doesn't. When the unsaved world sees our home, sees our life, at least this is the way it should be, they should see something that is different in a good way, not a weird way, not an Amish way, if you know what I mean, but in a good way that draws them to us. So when it comes to evangelism, I just want to close with this question. You say, Pastor Bruce, I'm not too sure about this whole exchange thing. I don't know if I can take someone through a 5-week Bible study and then lead them to Christ. Then don't. Just have them over for tea or coffee. Just reach out to them. Just take them a plate of cookies. And no, I'm not talking about a plate of cookies with Romans 10:13 written on the tinfoil. I'm not talking about that. Just show somebody some kindness. You know, in these days, people are so cynical and they're so fearful and they're so jaded and they're so suspicious of everyone that when somebody feels like and really believes that, wow, this neighbor cares about me or this coworker does love me. I mean, people melt because it's one in a million today. So like Paul, the challenge today is come alongside the Holy Spirit to reach out to a lost and hurting world because that's what he's doing. And when we move in his direction, watch out. Good things happen. Good things happen. Lord, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the example of Paul and so many others, even key people in our church who just continually reach out to others and show the kindness of Christ. I thank you for them. Please bless them in their efforts. Lord, maybe there's someone in our church who's really discouraged and depressed. And it could be, I'm not saying it is, Lord, you know I don't, but it could be that their eyes are so turned inward that all they see is their problems, their burdens, their needs, their hang-ups. Help us, Lord, to once in a while at least to look outside ourselves, look at those around us and do some kind deed backed up by prayer, asking the Lord of the harvest to use us, to partner with us, to lead somebody to Christ eventually, in your time and in your manner, in your way. May Christ be exalted in this church in 2021, and no matter how bad or how good things get in our country, whatever way it goes, that's in your hands. We should leave that to you and focus on the lost and the gospel and seeing lives changed by your word. Change us, Lord, as we see you in the word of God this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.